your point slides off because they're coming over the trophy.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Sharkcast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by Dyson Logistics and coming at you live and loud from the Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking. We are also fueled by LGB supplements and we get our grass cut by Endeavour Property Services and wash it all down with the Shark Island Brewing Lager. I am your host, or one half of the podcast, Mr. Adam Newman, and I'm joined as I am every week by my fellow Sharks fanatic, Sydney singer-songwriter, an all-round good bloke, Sam Shenazzy. How you going, mate?
Hey, Newman. Another week, another win for the Sharks. I'm pretty happy about that. We're in the top eight. We're entrenched. Get in touch with the Sharkcastpod at gmail.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Subscribe to our podcast. We love you. Thank you very much.
And the official records will read that the Sharks came from behind against a very willing New Zealand Warriors, 18 points to 15 in controversial fashion, and that leaves us in 7th position on the NRL ladder in a logjam of a bunch of other teams. We're a couple of points from 4th and 3rd, and we're even only a couple of points from the top, so it's a good position to be in. We've got a bye in hand, and we are now ensconced in the top 8, but it was a typical 2018 Sharks performance. Let the other team get out to a flying start, warm into the contest, and then crawl back into the game with some good footy, score 3 tries, and win. What did you make of it, Sam?
Newman, you summed it up well. The past 4 and 9 of the past 10 matches have been decided by 8 points or less. Diabolical opening 10 minutes. Couldn't find touch, some bad reads and defense, some handling errors. Down 12-0. Thankfully, this team's got a bit of ticker in them and a lot of skill. The stats got a lot better, Newman, as the game went on. Overall, only made 5 handling errors. We won the penalty count 10-5.
What, in the whole game?
In the whole game.
They would have made 3 of them in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, more possession. We completed 35 of 40, so I'm pretty happy with that by the end of the game and the fact we won.
Val Holmes' spill didn't count as an error, though, did it?
Didn't count as an error. It sure... Sure saved me a lot of work. In the news section, we're going to talk about a very special event we had, but I think the whole crowd that I was in might have turned on me if that was allowed.
Well, it's worth pointing out that we watched the game from... We pumped it enough so that the listeners should understand. We watched the game from our annual function, 100th episode function, down at the Royal Motor Yacht Club, and we... I haven't had a chance to watch it on replay yet, so... We couldn't keep... It's not like watching it at the game, was it?
No, it wasn't. We were talking to a lot of people and we're very thankful a lot of people came along. We're going to tell a few stories a bit later on. I was fortunate enough at work the next morning with a bit of a dusty head to watch it all in slow motion. And it was, aside from the first 10 minutes, it was pretty good. Some really key performances. I thought two guys who didn't get too much of a mention afterwards, but the edge back rowers in Capewell and Sorensen did a real good job.
And they're there to do a job for us with a few injuries, and I'm glad they got about their business with a minimum of fuss. I still want to see more from Capewell, and I've been saying it here for a long time that I want to see more from him. And, you know, we love him. He's a lovely fella, but he's just such a big, rangy body, and he's getting all of these, the new Pomeroy accusations.
Well, I did notice most hit-ups did see him going onto his left foot and across. He topped the tackle count with 34 tackles, made 116 metres. He was busy.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
That's some pretty good output. Doesn't matter who you are. And Sorensen, he's a good player. And I think we'll see a lot more of him as the years and roll on. I think he'll become an integral member of the squad. Other great performances. I thought they brought Seguiaro on early by his standards, and he changed the game in our favour. He's in some career best form for the Sharkies.
Yeah, he sure is. He played the last 52 minutes of the match. I don't know if Brayley was injured or not. I think he just might not have got back on, given the way the game was going. He didn't do anything wrong the first half an hour he played, but Seggy had a very big impact. He's had a good month, probably 6 weeks of football.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we were riding him off this time last year, and he's a different player. You know, he's running direct and none of that crazy stuff where he runs around in circles, and he almost makes a break as soon as he comes on the field. He was fantastic. And, you know, another great debut. I wouldn't say great, but a very serviceable debut from a very professional debut from Aaron Woods. Started off the bench, made an impact with his hit-ups, a couple of good offloads. undid it with some sloppiness around the play the ball, but overall, you know, it was a sort of 7.5 out of 10 game.
Oh, I think even closer to an 8 for me. Newman, he ended up playing 40 minutes. He made more meters and runs than he has all year for the Bulldogs. I did notice from the first play the ball, it was shaky, and every single one was shaky, and he was penalised towards the end for incorrect play the ball.
And if you recall, in the Sharks-Dogs game earlier in the year, he did the same thing, and that turned the game away from the Dogs' favour. It turned it into our favour. So it's in his game, and it's something that Flano's going to have to fix up.
Well, we know he can do that, given the Fifita's change in form with the play the ball. So I'm okay with that. As long as it improves, I'm okay with it. I thought he was great. I think our third try, he had the nice offload, which went to the right. Overall, he takes a lot of pressure off Pryor and Fifita.
Now, I don't want to read too much into this game because I think it's, you know, we went over to Auckland. It's a long away trip. They're in some pretty decent form. You know, they got Luke back. They got Johnson back. And to get the 2 points over there, you should just be happy with it by hook or by crook. So I'm going to preface what I'm going to say, but I'm really starting to get wonder when we're going to put a complete performance together. Like, we are just putting together these periods which give the opposition the lead, and we score 3 tries and win. And
I guess the argument there, Newman, is they put 68 minutes together. So it's like closer than probably ever, but the problem is the first 12 sucked.
But we still haven't seen it. And even then, you know, we're scoring 3 tries, and we saw it against the likes of the Roosters and the likes of the Rabbits, that those teams are probably a step above us at the moment. Now, I don't think that we can't reel them in. Like, it's not like, say, Melbourne last year where they were just that far in front.
Yeah.
I never thought we were going to catch them. Now, I don't think we can't reel them in, but honestly, we are careering towards, like, finishing strong and winning most of our games, but by small margins, and then getting into a semi-final dogfight and losing.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It would be nice, like it was a few years ago, where we could do that, but then, you know, click the fingers and score a whole bunch of points when needed. So that is missing this year. And that is a real risk in playing this down and dirty style of rugby league, low scoring rugby league, is that if you get to that, those playoffs, as I like to call them, and we will.
Playoffs!
And you require a try, which we saw against the Cowboys last year, and we just couldn't get one.
Yeah.
Exactly. It could be the same.
It could be.
I think we're a bit different this year, but it could be the same.
Yeah, I just like to see us put together a real 80-minute performance, you know, post 24, 30 points and not, you know, have to claw our way back from, you know, two tries scored from dud errors, which it seems to be, you know, we put ourselves behind and then we always come back. It was the South game. They got up and we're scratching our way back in and it just didn't happen. I'd like to see us have a different plan.
Well, I don't know if it's the plan. I think it's just how it ends up. I'm sure they don't go into the games thinking, oh, we'll be behind by 12 and we'll scrap our way through it. They know they can do it.
Well, that's one, that is the good thing. You know, if they get behind against anybody, you're always half a chance to come back.
Yeah, well, any more than 12 points could be an issue, but you're right. Let's not fall into that trap. It's been consistent this year.
Yeah, so I guess my point is our position on the ladder, we should be higher.
Yeah.
But where we are is warranted by how we've been playing.
Absolutely. I think that's a perfect description of it. There were lots of games, as I said before, that were super close and we've either won or lost. And
now let's talk about some negatives.
Sure.
Andrew Fifita looks busted. I think he's really going to enjoy a week off.
I think he had a pretty honest game and it was certainly above average, but you're right. He's carrying something.
Yeah.
And definitely he'll be having some time off.
Well, the word around the squad was that he shouldn't have played for Tonga.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah. He's a tough kid.
You know, and then he's backed up and played for us because, you know, if he played for Tonga, then he had to play for us. And I'm sure that the coaching staff would have liked him to miss that game. But, yeah, he's carrying. So the week off probably comes in a good time. Also, there's a lot of detractors digging into Chad Townsend.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to agree with them to a degree.
I don't care about the detractors, but I care about what you think.
He just doesn't offer enough.
Right.
You know, he's on the internet, people say, oh, they're shit, you know. And he's unbelievably good. Like, he's not shit.
No.
But he's just not offering enough. Like, he doesn't run the ball. And that makes him so easy to pick off. And then if there's errors that creep into his game, like there has when he's played howlers, like not kicking into touch, missing a couple of what seemed to be pretty, you know, standard conversions, then all of a sudden he looks a dud player.
Yeah, the conversion thing to me I don't get, because he got some really great goals on the weekend from the sideline and no one's talking about that. I'm not having a go at you, but I think his kicking is fine and I'd sort of prefer his stability over like a guy like Val, who's just all over the shop as we know, in all directions of his play. As far as Chad's game, I think he warmed into it. He had a pretty terrible opening 10 minutes and he wasn't alone there. Ramian had a shocking opening 10 minutes. He made up for it. Chad's general kicking improved as the game went on. They kept going deeper and deeper, possibly with the aid of their forwards going forward, of course. I think that maybe the spotlight's too harsh on him at the moment.
Let me ask you this, though.
Sure.
When was the last time he kicked a 40-20?
I don't have my stuff on me, but I don't know if it was this year.
It was when he was playing for the Yarrawarra Tigers, mate.
That's not true.
It is. He doesn't kick 40-20.
Okay.
When was the last time when we were coming out of trouble, he managed to stop the ball in the in goal and then tackle the fullback in the in goal?
I think he did it on the weekend, didn't he?
The point I'm trying to make is he just doesn't have enough game changing plays in him.
I know what you're saying.
And I reckon
we've had this debate before, though.
I reckon if he just ran the ball. And instead of just drifting across field and picking up a runner all the time or running a shape, he's got Moylan outside him. And all the defenders are going, Moylan. He dummies to Moylan and he's pretty quick. He goes through. He does that three times a game. People love him.
Oh, yeah. I was happy with his general kicking because he was the guy in charge and the majority of them were pretty good. Sure, he can run more. Absolutely. Maybe he will. We're in the middle of the year. There's a long way to go. I remember people bagging him about that Canberra game in 2016, neck minute, carving up against the Cowboys, winning the comp the next week. So he's got it in him. I personally think the spotlight's on him too much at the moment. I don't think he's going that bad. I disagree with you in some aspects.
Do you want to know one of the more ridiculous theories I read on the internet about him?
Only because I'm intrigued, not because I care about the internet.
No, I don't agree with this, but someone speculated.
You know, he's a sometime listener of Ash.
I know, but I'm only reporting what was said on the internet.
Sure, he'll
find it funny.
Okay.
Not because it's true. Okay. They speculated that he deliberately doesn't run the ball because he's worried about getting injured and losing his spot to Flano Jr. Isn't that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard?
If that was the case, he wouldn't be out there playing rugby league. You know, what happens every time he kicks the ball? He gets bashed.
He gets whacked. I know.
The thing about Kyle Flanagan is, look, he might be ready. He might be, but I don't think Chad's even close to being droppable. And that's just my opinion again, but
I think
we're way off the mark.
I'm not suggesting he should be dropped.
I'm not saying you are.
I want every player in the Sharks team to be an elite number one player.
Why are you laughing?
And the moment, I think Chad would admit that he's not like the top halfback in the NRL.
Sure. Can I give a shout out to Paulie G? Some of his hit-ups were really, really good. Though,
really
like sort of 15, 17-meter hit-ups, really, really aggressive runs. You know, the debate's going to be ongoing, but we're not going to get into that right now. But he had a really good game. Again, he topped the meters, 17 runs, 170 meters. That's pretty
really
good.
Strong output. All right, well, that wraps us up for the game review. We're going to cut to a break, and we come back on the other side. We will have the news. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies and with better service too because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467-233-153. That's 0467-233-153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference.
The RMYC Port Hacking is a true hidden gem of the Sutherland Shire with million-dollar views for the price of a beer. A world-class venue located on the western side of Port Hacking, it has glorious views over the boat moorings up to Bundina.
Open to members and their guests, you can grab a drink in one of the two bars, sit on the deck, on the lawn with the kids while they run around and watch the boats come and go. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and serves fresh, modern Australian dishes. Local seafood, steaks, my personal favourite, Newman, burgers that are high on flavour and low on price. There's a full TAB facility on Saturdays. And of course, the Mighty Sharky games are on live and loud on all the big screens. Don't forget about Friday Fishing. It's a hit with the kids.
And if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free garlic bread. Get down to the RMYC Port Hacking, 228 Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or find them online, rmycph.com.au, or on Facebook as RMYC. The Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking, home of Sharkcast Radio.
This is an absolute monster of a bomb. Val goes Valentine Holmes looking for a hole. Here goes Val. What a try to Val Holmes, and what are they looking at here? Point to the spot.
Hey, what are they looking at?
They called it a try, but we just saw at one end that doesn't mean anything.
What the hell are they looking at? They're trying to ruin my night?
Absolute idiots. What? I can't understand it. Here we go, Samuel. So, they're looking. No.
Hey, this guy here?
It's off a kick return, and Matt Moylan is in the line, but he gets a really good play at him. And that is play on.
We've got a problem.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
And the boos rain down on Southern Cross Group Stadium. And
my heart is broken.
We are robbed.
I'm a broken man.
One of the great moments in rugby league history as Valentine Holmes rampages down the field. I don't understand. It wasn't a block play. That is a poor call. He got a good shot at Val there. Absolutely unbelievable.
Boy. Great play from Val.
What can you do, Samuel?
Play on. We'll remember that. Great
We're
play.
We're down to 6 minutes and 35 seconds. The score is 22
that
points
was exciting,
to 4
huh?
on the CWE audio visual scoreboard.
Very exciting.
And Samuel, you were shouting into the
it's my job. It's my
into
job
the
to shout.
Microphone there. That is such a bad call.
And now it's come to the time of the show where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of the SCG. The news and the first thing that happened this week, Samuel, was we had our 100th episode party. Congratulations to you on sticking with this little project of ours for over 100 episodes. It's been a wild time.
Did I have much choice?
Well, of course you did. You could have stopped anytime you liked.
Congratulations to you as well. We're now, I think, at 111 or 12, but we wanted to celebrate the 100th, and we had it at one of our favourite, if not favourite, spaces to be, which is where we are right now.
At the Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking, and I know that they sponsor us, but what a joint.
Like,
it's
fantastic.
You're just down there, you're looking out over the bay, the boats are there. We had our own little bar. They brought us out pizzas and burgers. And
our friend Liam really looked after us. And the barman, whose name I didn't catch, he was getting punished all night and did a good job.
And the Shark Island boys put on a keg of beer, which for those who weren't there, was drained before halftime. So the first three beers were at kickoff. And then a full keg was punished before halftime.
Then they were selling more, right?
Yeah. And they sold a bunch more.
Yeah.
And... like there was about, what, 50 people there?
I think more. I would say closer to 70 in a really well-sized room that, you know, a room that fit 70. It was a great atmosphere. People of all ages, genders.
And I did a speech, and I don't know if I articulated how grateful we were, but people, I was talking to dudes that had come from Windsor.
Yeah.
And, like, this is to get to Woolaware at 6 o'clock
peak hour
traffic.
I was thinking about that. I was thinking about next year and we might need to tinker with that. But
I mean, people are coming from Windsor, they're coming from Ryde, they're coming from all over. Like, dudes are turning up in their work gear.
We walked in probably a little bit later than what we both expected, just given what was going on in our lives. And people were already there. Yeah. And I say this with all respect and gracefully. As soon as we walked in, we were chatting to people nonstop, which was fantastic. And I heard so many great stories. And
I know.
Names and the stories escape me who matches up with who. But people who said that our podcast influenced them in going to the grand final, and people who had these great stories about being on airplanes during the grand final, and it's their week, part of their weekly
ritual,
and when we don't do one, they're really upset, and now we know why. And it was genuinely so flattering.
Touching. I was blown away by the impact and by people that, you know, we haven't met.
And that's just the people who were there. We had a lot of people who wrote to us and sent us well wishes who couldn't be there.
Because we've had parties before. We had the 2016 grand final party. We had a party last year. Mm. And I pretty much thought that through those parties and emailing everybody, we sort of knew who our listening base was. But all these people turned up that we didn't know.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And it was just fantastic. So thank you guys that came down so much. And for those who weren't there, to run you through it, we're in the little room down there and we had some ex-greats. John Docking was there.
They're still greats, but they were ex-players.
Yeah.
Bad joke.
The mighty Gav Miller.
Yeah.
He was there, and we're trying to figure out how many schooners he drank, but it was a lot.
He did well.
Aaron Raper. Yeah. Ben Ross. So we had four ex-players
there. Rob Willis.
Robbie Willis turned up.
Scotty Maxworthy was there. The guys do the show.
And then there was like guys like Jimmy Manley, who ran the CSSC for a lot of years. Yep. He came down, and it was just an unreal night, and we kicked on, and the games seemed to go like the click of a finger.
It was funny because so quick. You were behind by 12, and the crowd wasn't down, but we weren't happy either.
No.
And then slowly got back into it, and our mood kept improving. And then Val dropped the bomb.
Yeah.
And the entire room looked at me. I was in the middle, and I felt about 1 centimeter tall. Couple of people were looking at me going, "Don't worry about it." And I'm like, "No, I'm cool." Like, I was laughing, but I was also thinking, they're going to riot.
Yep.
Thankfully, no try, play on.
Eddie
scores. Yep. And there's a great video going around on our socials, which I believe you took.
No.
Or someone else took
someone else took that. I can't remember.
And it's basically the entire room during the video having a look. And you can hear us all saying, "It's not there yet. What's happening?" Yeah. And then you can, I think there's vision of him putting it down, and it's just right when he gets it down, we all just go up as one. It's like,
room, when he scored the try, the room went off even more, but nobody had their phone out filming it. But it was such a great night, and
made the night pretty much.
Josh Bolling, who we were giving it to, like, good Josh, on you, mate. Yeah. He took it with good humor, and we had a great night. So thanks for everybody coming down. But legitimately a fantastic event. There was a lot of people there. It was, and then we put the tunes on, and the party just went off.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch 1 second of Melbourne versus Roosters.
I was the only one watching it.
Yeah.
But again, and one of our dearest sponsors and people we know, Kane Dyson, made a long trek down here, and then he gave us some really beautiful presents as well.
Yeah, that was unreal.
And said a few words, so we appreciate that. But even, you know, Jason's mum was there.
Yeah.
And
she's a lovely lady.
A lot of people made a big effort, and we really, really appreciate it. We'll do it again.
My heavily pregnant wife was there.
Yes.
With T-Bone.
Yes. So we'll do it again for sure, but we cannot tell you enough, and we're sorry if you're boring the people who weren't there, but it was a really great night.
All right. Now, there was some lower grade, one lower grade result, and the mighty Newtown Jets. Newtown is flying. They'll be no denying. Newtown. They pulled the spanked Wests. 52 points to 10, I believe it was. And the big talking point for that was youngster Bronson Cherry debuted, scored 3 tries on debut, and had a 4th disallowed, absolutely carved them up, showed that he was more than capable in that grade. So he's one to watch for the future, Samuel.
Yeah, he looked really good. I watched the game on Channel 9, and I remember seeing the team card thinking, oh yeah, I want to keep my eye on him. And then before I knew it, he scored his first try, and he scored 3 in the first half. He looked pretty good. He reminded me of Curtis Scott in the way that I watched him in SG Ball and just really dominate. So we'll see what happens. He'll play first grade at some point in the coming years.
Let's keep a lid on it, though. He's got a lot. You know, it's one game against weak opposition. So
they weren't good, the other mob.
Yeah, so he's got to play some tough opposition. But one to watch. Now, on the Newtown Jets, Albie from Steel Sports, who I call the games with, if you want to listen to the call of the game this weekend, it's not on Channel 9. Tune in to steelsports.com.au at 3 o'clock, and you'll hear my dulcet tones with Albie. He is encouraging everybody to get down to Henson Park for an awesome... it's family day, so there'll be... And Sharks members get in free.
Is that right?
Yeah, so Sharks members get in free. There's a jumping castle, face painting. Of course, you got plenty of beers. Get a sausage sandwich. It's like being in a living, breathing time machine. But he also wanted to put it out. If he was to put on a bus and it was like $20 and that included your entry into the ground, a trucker hat, and a few young Henry's Newtowners...
For $20?
For $20 from the Shire, pick you up and drop you off. Would the Sharkcast listeners be interested? So we're putting it out there for expressions of interest. Yeah. Let us know at sharkcastpodjet@gmail.com or on Twitter. If you'd be interested in the bus for later in the year, it'll be a Saturday, 3 o'clock, $20.
Oh, we're talking a one-off?
We're talking a one-off, yeah.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, I know. Let us know if that's something that you're interested in, because I know the CWSC sometimes can't run buses for reasons.
Now, Newman, New South Wales under 20 squad for, I guess, game 3 has been announced. A few Sharks are in there, including your man, Isaac Lumi-Lumi.
Which surprises me.
Kyle Flanagan. A very talented fellow named Blake Braley.
Does not surprise me.
Is it Teague Wilson? How am I pronouncing that? Tag Wilson, sorry, Tag. And Josh Carr. What's up with Isaac? Why are you surprised he's there?
He's just had a couple of shockers, mate.
Okay.
Yeah. I like him as a player. But when every time I've seen him play, at least for Newtown, he's really struggled to catch the ball.
Okay. Well, we'll see what that holds out for him. It's a good work to all those Sharks juniors.
All right. Now, in other Origin news, Matt Prior has been dumped from the New South Wales squad, which kind of surprised...
Not from the squad, but from the team, yeah.
Or from the team.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of surprised everyone. I thought he was a bit hard done by there.
Yeah, I get the feeling that they're letting the other fellow just have a game. It's a bit like under eights or whatever, let the other guy have a go. Prior didn't disappoint anyone. He was good.
No, and they won the series. Signing news. Have we covered Edric Lee going to Newcastle?
No, we haven't.
What the hell's going on with our outside backs? We're losing Ricky. We're losing Edric Lee. So it looks like Sasaya Fecky's going to go.
So Eddie was offered a 3-year deal. We offered him 2. He took the 3 from the Knights.
Yeah, and he's playing well.
Ricky's off to Toronto for a fair bit of money. We know that.
Jesse Ramian's going to Newcastle as well.
Sasaya has been told he can look elsewhere.
Yeah.
I don't believe he's been axed, but he's been told he can look elsewhere. What else are we talking about here? Who else have we got? So Jack Williams today re-signed until 2020.
Big news. Great news.
Jason Bikuya is about to, if he hasn't already been announced, that's a done deal, counted in, till 2020. So that's well-deserved from Bikuya. Some great back rowers there. The Val saga, which isn't really a saga for anyone except for the people on the internet, that continues.
Rumours continue that he's unhappy.
Yeah, I don't know where that's coming from.
Well, it's against the rules for him to be talking to any other club.
Yeah, but where's this unhappiness coming from?
He's playing well.
He looks happy, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I see him down at Cronulla, looks happy.
He made comments in the press, right? I might not be here after 2019. I'm going to look at all my options. Of course he's going to look at all his options. The Sharks haven't tabled an offer yet. Now, your mail is...
It's strong mail. It's good mail. I'm not going to name a source, but they're in the process of offering him a deal that is over a number of years, which is between the years of 3 and 5, and it's not 3 or 4. And it is for what I was told was one of, if not the biggest amount of money for a Sharks player.
Wow.
So they're going to make it worth his while. They're going to fight
for it. That might change it. So, yeah. You know, don't believe everything you read. And I think he's only going to get better and better and better. And he will become an elite fullback. He's not there yet, but he will become an elite fullback.
As we keep saying, Newman, it's going to go one or two ways. So if he goes somewhere else, we're going to receive a lot of inboxes saying, we told you so. And if he doesn't, well, then he's we told you so. So whatever way you're going, let's see what happens. I'm pretty happy with how he's going.
Other rumours fly around. Jared Haynes evidently coming to the club. So are the Morris twins. So is Ben Barber. And so is Jack Bird.
The Haynes thing was just some weird internet troll thing. That's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the Morrises, I don't know which one. I think it's Josh, actually. Flano might be interested in.
Well, we need outside backs because we look pretty damn skinny. I can't believe they let Edric Lee go, considering that we're letting so many others go. Flanner has to have a backup plan.
He does, and it's called kids.
Yeah, right.
There is one rumor that is actually concrete, and it's not the Jack Bird one, and that's Blake Ferguson. And basically, the Roosters don't want to give him the amount of money that he wants, and Newcastle are hitting him really hard to go up there. And the mail is, Shane Flanagan said, hold up, let's have a chat before you sign. So that's where we're at with that.
Well, wouldn't the ironing be delicious for him to come back when he slagged us off when he left, saying that he wanted to go somewhere to win a premiership and still hasn't done that?
Yeah, we know the history.
He's caused all sorts of problems down at Biggles upstairs at Fusion.
I think for me, Newman, that is the issue. It's not about what he said. Of course, I want to slap him hard for saying it. His form's been actually decent.
He's a good player.
It's about the other stuff.
Yeah.
And he's had a kid, and from what we've heard, he's changed a little bit. But, you know, Joshy's here already, and we don't want to tempt fate with that kind of thing.
No, we don't.
I think that the coach will think long and hard before he goes any further than talking with him, and that's all he's doing at the moment.
Well, I can tell you that he's going to be a divisive figure at the club. A lot of supporters are going to be seriously unhappy if he signs. I tend to think that I've always said that you want the best players in positions at the club, but
I got a tip for you. The coach wouldn't care about what they think, what the fans think about Ferguson. He'd think about what he can do for him as a player.
Yeah, exactly.
As harsh as that is to say.
So
we care. We have opinions on it, you know.
And which is fair enough. So let's see what becomes of that. I'll watch with interest. 3 weeks ago, I would say no way. But now we're so skinny in the backs department. We need players there. And
Flano loves experienced players.
Exactly. And all of a sudden, our squad is like the Origin team from 2014.
Yeah, which it was 2014 and now we're 4 years later.
Yep.
That's my sort of issue with that kind of thinking. We do have some really good young guys coming through. Whether they're ready next year, I don't know. Flano knows. Flano's got a plan. He's not just going to let guys go.
No. Well, he has just let guys go.
Yeah, but not without a plan.
We haven't seen the backup plan. We're only seeing drip feed. So that is the news. So we're going to cut to a break. And when we come back on the other side, we'll have the letters. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services. LGB Supplements is the Shire's number one store for supplements and proteins. They have a wide range of supplements, including proteins, pre-workouts, and fat burners, on top of a massive range of exercise accessories, including boxing gear, activewear, gym gear, and water bottles.
Newman, it's free delivery Shire-wide and a price beat guarantee. Best prices anywhere. 10% price beat. The website is www.teamlgb.com.au. Just again, www.teamlgb.com.au. They're at Shop 6, 10 Waratah Road, Engadine. It's 20% off for Sharkcast listeners.
On top of that, they have friendly, accessible boot camps for all levels to shift those extra kilos. They have them in the Engadine area, and there's a boot camp at Woolooware coming soon. LGB, life's getting better.
This stage, that's the second time they've had the football, Brisbane. Their second mistake. I'm just handing over possession to Cronulla in good field position now. Right on the halfway line.
Eddinghausen and Green laying it on. Peachy's into the space. They're not going to get him. The young fullback scores for the Sharks.
Well, I'll tell you, it is one of the best scrum moves you've ever seen.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone. I'm going home.
Welcome back to the show, and now it's come to the time where we go out the front of Shark Cars Pod headquarters and see what the little sharky who rips around the neighbourhood on a high-vis motorbike has jammed into the slot. The letters you can get us at sharkcarspod@gmail.com or Facebook, Instagram, Twitter with the handle at Shark Cars Pod. And please write into us. We want to hear more about what you guys want to talk about. So what's the first cab we have off the rank, Samuel?
We have Michael from Canberra. And he said, our team is looking weird next year. No Ramian, no Lutelli, no Slick Eddie. Aaron Woods is there for some reason. Possibly no Gallon or Lewis. I, for one, am skeptical that there's a good team there. Are we in the market for, say, some backs, given we are losing three? Hope the party was good. Ben Ross seems like a good dude.
Ben Ross is a good dude, no doubt. Party was good. I agree with that sentiment. If we lose Eddie, Ricky, Sasaya, Jesse, Gallon, and Lewis, that's a big deficit that needs to be replaced somehow. So I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, astute as always. As we said in the news section, there is some sort of plan going on. I also want to point out that Dugan isn't playing much at the moment. Maybe he can rectify that and be an outside back for us next year, which is one less guy to worry about. Now, at the party, Newman, I sent out a request pretty much for people to come along and chew my ear off about Valentine Holmes. A lot of people did this. One person in particular did it better than others. His name is Stats Davis. He's a good fella. He likes his rock and roll. He's got a million stories. Now, Stats wanted to know, Valentine Holmes, he was convinced that
the Valentine Holmes let the most number of 40-20s in the comp
in the past 2 years. I disagreed. I went to work and looked it up. Just for Stats' benefit, Valentine Holmes has given away three in the past 2 years. Jack Whiten and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck have given away four.
Yeah.
So Val is equal second, shall we say, or third in the list.
Yeah.
And he's in good company. He's with Alex Johnson. He's with Billy Slater. He's with James Tedesco, Michael Gordon, and Tom Trbojevic. So
couple of fair players there.
Stats' argument to me, which I'm fully respectful of what Stats was saying. He backed it up with a lot of different thoughts, which he can't articulate right now. But he was basically saying a large part of the fullback's game is to protect that. And I agree with him, but he was very upset about that. And I point out to him that A, he doesn't give away the most, and B, he's with really good company. So if that's the biggest fault of a fullback, well, maybe he's not going so
all
bad.
Right, I'm going to join into Stats and give you a challenge. Chad Townsend, how many 40-20s has he kicked?
Mm-hmm.
Second question, how many times has he trapped a fullback in the in-goal from outside, from the other side of halfway?
From the other side of halfway?
That's correct.
Okay, that's a hard thing to do.
Yep.
All right, I'll get into that during
the
week.
The size of 40-20.
Yeah, but Chad would have forced a lot of dropouts. A lot of people wouldn't have forced a lot out from that, from outside the 50.
We got a letter from Blake from Hurstville.
Oh, cool.
He said he only recently discovered our podcast, and for nostalgic purposes, he went through and listened to the entire 2016 season.
Legend.
What a champion. That is like a day of your life you're never going to get back, mate. But we appreciate that. He said, one thing that struck me was how generally we either won a close game or we lost by a decent margin. Okay. Of our 17 regular season wins that year, 11 were of the close variety. This also assumes that we consider the Knights one an NRL quality team. He says he follows the NFL closely, and the statistics show that for any game decided by less than two scores, it's basically a 50-50 shot at winning the game. Which I agree with, right? And so one year you're going to win 50%, the other year you're going to, you know, it will...
Canberra 2016, Canberra 2017-18.
Exactly, right? The way to be considered a truly great team is to minimize the amount of close games you have and maximize your blowouts to avoid this statistical mean reversion.
I like
now,
it.
You are a statistics man.
Yeah.
I failed statistics, Samuel. Sure. At sure. University, in quant methods, I was given what was called a pass conceded, meaning that you didn't get 50, but you tried really hard.
Yeah, I know what it means.
All right. So essentially his argument is that while it may be considered blasphemy, what I'm suggesting is that we absolutely caught lightning in a bottle in 2016.
Ooh, okay.
This has shown, and that if we wish to return to those heady glory days again, we need to score more points.
Wow. Yeah, but that's easier said than done, my friend.
100% correct, but...
But he's right.
Yeah. I know. I think that's a great email.
But if you throw in Ben Barber to this team, well...
There's a few more tries. There's a few more points. So I think he's
Maloney,
right.
You have to be
lucky to win the comp.
And don't forget, Maloney's kicking at like 85% or whatever.
Yeah,
like.
You have to have luck, and there was an element of luck.
We didn't have any injuries.
No. So.
No, that's very astute. Yeah. I also want to say thanks for listening to all those episodes. Well, I have to admit, probably once or twice a year, I'll put on the grand final podcast and just have a listen to that and get all emotional listening to that.
Will you?
It's beautiful listening for me.
Is that right, Sam?
I challenge you, Newman, to go do that when you have time. You don't have much time, but...
We got an email from Adam, and he has sent us a very detailed document about how Now, we're not getting into that. We're going to put that one on the shelf and talk about it another time.
That's fine. But so Adam has sent in a detailed document about what to do with the bottom half of the NRL when they don't make the eight. And it's riveting reading. Thank you, Adam. And we'll definitely get into that shortly.
And that wraps us up for another episode of Sharkcast Radio. We have the bye this week. What do you plan on doing with your weekend, Samuel?
I'll be working, but I'm going to be bugging you next week to do a mid-season review podcast.
Good news. I can't wait. I'll be down at Henson Park on Saturday. So bring the family down and come and say g'day and tune in, because it's not on Channel 9, to steelsports.com.au, and have a listen. And as we say every week,
up the Sharks.
Let's go. Sharks forever.